Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, welcome. We are in our Christmas season, and we are in our flu season as well, so that's some fun stuff. Before we jump in, I do want to just remind you of some things coming up, and tonight is the caroling event, so you heard me pray about it, and you see all these gifts up here. So tonight we are taking the gifts to Log Pond Apartments, and then we're actually going to be singing at 6 o'clock. There's different carols. We have handouts out there, so you don't have to have the words memorized. We have handouts for you, and the address is in the bulletin. So make sure you check that out and join us tonight. And then again, it leads up to next Sunday, which is our Christmas Eve. So we're going to have two services. We will not have our 9 o'clock service. As I've said before, we're just going to have a 10:30 and then a 5 p.m. So we'll have a morning service, and then we'll also have an evening service. They will be the same service, but it will be a family service. So make sure you're inviting families, inviting people, friends, neighbors, coworkers. They will come if you invite them on a Christmas Eve service. So make sure you're doing that right now. Be praying for them as well. It's going to be an incredible time where we can spend together as a family and celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus. So, and some exciting stuff. And I'm excited today as we jump back into the series entitled B-Roll. And if you remember, the series is this word is actually a made-up word that we made up, and it means anything other than the main character. So what we've been doing is we've been kind of digging into some different parts of the story of Christmas. And although some of these different parts, so sometimes they fade into the background, there's still a lot that we can learn from these different parts. There's still a tremendous amount that we can even apply to our own lives. And the central theme through this entire series, again, we've said it over and over, is this. As there's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. There's no small parts in the story of Jesus, only small-minded people. And sometimes, too, in the story, and what we're going to see today, is there's a small acts that make a huge difference, right? There's times where something may not seem like a big deal in the moment, but they turn out to be huge. And we see this in the story of Jesus, which we're going to jump in today. But if you think about our own lives, we've probably all experienced this as well, right? There's been moments in our life where we probably felt like there was something small, right? We made this one small choice, but it made a huge impact. It made a huge difference in our future. I mean, if you're thinking about it right now, you're probably thinking about a certain one, right? So just raise your hand if you've ever made a small decision that had a huge outcome, right? All right. Anybody want to share that small decision? Anybody? Nancy, you're always good to call on. You never know what's going to happen. Didn't feel big at the moment, but right? It was, right. Ah, I think we all. She went ahead and pulled the Jesus card, so you guys are all good, right? See, I think we've all been there, right? We've all been there when we made that small decision. It could have been a chance just to even take a different route home, and we saw a sign that led to something else, right? Could have been a chance where, you know what, it was a job that we thought was a dead-end job, so it was a no-brainer to quit it, so we changed our job, but it made a huge difference. Maybe it was even just moving to a different place. It seemed like a small moment at the time, even though moving is a huge decision. It seemed like something small, but it made a huge impact. And really, there can be these small differences, these small decisions that make all the difference. Now, for me, it was saying yes to go on this date with the sister of a girl that was the checkout clerk at Giant Eagle. So let me just tell you a little quick story. See, at that moment, I didn't realize that this was going to be like a defining moment in my life. See, I was a bachelor, and I was actually just hungry. So like any guy in their 20s, what did I do? I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Giant Eagle, and I'm going to get me a box of Golden Grahams because that's going to be my dinner tonight. So that's what I thought was going on. But when I walked through the lane, and there's a person that I knew previously. So I was going through their lane, and she looks at me. She says, hey, I got the perfect person for you. So I'm thinking, okay, whatever. I just want my Golden Grahams, and I'm going to go home and eat these. So I'm like, and she's like, it's my sister, Sarah. So I'm thinking, all right. Now, Sarah and I, we actually, we went to college or high school together. We ran in different crowds. I ran in the cool crowd. And she was just a cheerleader. So we ran in different crowds, but we knew of each other, right? So I'm thinking like, yeah, I'll say yes to that. That's an easy yes. First of all, this chick's like way out of my league anyway, so I knew that going into it. So I'm like, yeah. And worst case scenario, I'm like, dude, we could at least catch up. So I said yes. It was just this little moment. And she's like, all right, cool. Well, she has a boyfriend now, so I'll have her call you in a couple weeks. I'm like, whoa. Like, you are a terrible matchmaker. Like, what is going on? So I said yes, and I'm thinking like, and then she said he had a boyfriend, so I'm like, okay, well, that was just a waste of a yes. But little did I know, in about 3 weeks, I got this phone call, right? And it changed everything, right? It changed everything. That moment I said yes, it helped, it led to me gaining my in-laws. Then it led to me gaining my family of my own as well, right? It seemed small, but it was just the opposite. I think we all have those times. We all have those moments where that small decision leads to a big outcome, where our whole future is changed because of that one moment. But on the flip side, I think there's times where we missed opportunities as well, right? We missed opportunities. We missed these great results because we hesitated or because we didn't act on those small moments. Moments that where we just couldn't see how that different, that little thing was actually going to make a difference. Moments where we thought our contribution would be so small that it wasn't going to make an impact on the future. Right? And because we didn't say yes, we missed out. And because of this is what I want us to look at today. This is the fact that really I want us to walk away with, is that God expects us to do what we can with what we have. God expects us to do what we can with what we have. The truth is, the opportunity that we may have, it may seem small, but that opportunity is still ours. It's still our responsibility to do what we can with what we have. Right? It's our responsibility to take action, no matter how small that action may seem. And when we do, it makes all the difference because God honors that decision. God honors us in those small things. God expects us to do what we can with what we have. And in the Christmas story, we see a perfect example of this, really based on where Jesus was actually born. So if you have your Bibles, go with me. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I promise I actually feel better than I sound. So if you don't have your Bible, though, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Incredible resource to put on your phone. We want you to have this so that you can read your Bible every single day. And the book of Luke is one of the four Gospels, which tell the story of Jesus from all these four different perspectives. And Luke is actually, he's a highly educated physician. So when you read through Luke, you're going to notice that he pays attention to detail. The detail in the book of Luke is just incredible, including telling even where the Savior's birth is. So check this out here. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So the Romans took a census every so often really to keep track of how many people were in their kingdom. What they're really doing, like, let's be honest here, they were making sure that they were getting taxes from all the people that were in the living kingdom. Right? That's what it was really all about. So this is what they were doing, right? They were calling for this census while Mary was pregnant. And again, this was pretty common. They did this about every 10 years or so. And what they did is they actually would call people back to their hometowns where their lineage was. It wasn't like they could shoot an email off or there was like a survey that they could shoot out. Whatever, like on SurveyMonkey. They didn't have those back then. So they actually had to pack up, go back to their hometown. So this is exactly what Mary and Joseph did. So we'll keep reading here in verse 4. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So again, here's Mary. She's pregnant, right? She's traveling while she's pregnant. And she's probably knowing that she's going to give birth on this trip. Now, instead of giving birth in her home, instead of giving birth where there's a comfort level, she gives birth on this road trip, right? Again, this isn't the best scenario for Mary and Joseph. This wasn't part of their plan. And again, we learned from last week that none of this was really any of Joseph's plan, right? This isn't what they really probably wanted. Like, it wasn't comfortable for them. And the fact was that, like, this was evident to everybody around them. They could see that these people were, like, were not comfortable with it. They could see that this lady was pregnant and about ready to go, right? It says all throughout there were crowds through the towns that they were traveling to. There was crowds everywhere, right? So you had all these groups of people looking at this pregnant person. They saw that they needed a place to stay, but yet they didn't focus on that. What they focused on is what they couldn't do, not what they could do. And the truth is, we've been there before, right? We've been there before, even around pregnant people. Let's just be honest. When we see a pregnant person and they're ready to go, for guys, like, man, we're walking on eggshells because we talked about the things you don't say to a pregnant woman, right? We talked about that in the Student Life Takeover. There's things you just don't say. There's things you don't do. And I think that everybody was watching this and they're thinking, man, they probably felt bad. And what they did is they ended up focusing on what they couldn't do. Well, what happened is they missed out. Nobody offered them a place to stay. Now, again, this was kind of common. There was a lot of people traveling, so it was normal for the rooms to be full. It was normal for them not necessarily to have a place to stay. But again, we're talking about a pregnant woman. And instead of offering help, people focused too much on what they couldn't do, and they basically just ignored her altogether. All except one person. All except this person who owned a manger. Now, we don't know much about this person. In fact, we hardly know anything about him, right? All we know is that there was a manger offered to Mary and Joseph, and Jesus was born in, right? All we know is that this person offered what they had. They offered what something that seemed so small, right? In fact, if you were thinking about it, it probably seemed shameful. It probably seemed shameful to offer a pregnant woman a place where animals would stay and where animals would eat from, right? It seemed probably just shameful to do this. It seemed so small. It probably even felt like the smallest act ever. But the truth is, it changed the world. That one person said, you know what? All I have is a manger. And then God said this. He says, you know what? I can work with that. I can birth the Savior of the world. God expects us to do what we can with what we have. I think the problem is, though, too many times we'd rather sit idle than gear up and do what we can, right? We become just like those travelers where we focus on what we can't do and not necessarily what we can. We become like those travelers where maybe we gain up some excuses thinking that, man, everything we could do is too small, or maybe that the other things are a little bit too big, right? We really end up missing out, and we end up becoming disobedient because we're not willing to do what we can. I think too many times we downplay who we are. We downplay who we are and what we're really called to do. And what we're called to do is we're called to be faithful and we're called to be obedient. But instead, too many times I think we allow ourselves to become unfaithful and disobedient. When I think through this, I kind of think of Sarah taking the kids grocery shopping. So we live about 15 minutes from town. We live out in the Licking Valley area. So we're about 15 minutes from like any legit grocery store. And so when Sarah goes to the grocery, usually it's a big trip for like 2 weeks or like the full week. Like, so it's like everything. And really any trip into town can become a disaster with the kids, let alone a grocery trip. So when she goes there, it's like a guarantee by the time she gets back and she takes the kids with her, the car is just going to be a complete wreck. Like, I don't know how they do it. It's actually kind of impressive. Sometimes we're not even mad but for 15 minutes, like, kids can just destroy a car. And if it's a grocery store, what they do is, like, I mean, there's going to be stuff pulled out of the bags. Things will tip over. They'll kick them. And, like, so the first thing that we do is, like, when they get back home from the grocery store, say, kids, clean up the car, right? Clean up the mess. Pick up everything. Start bringing everything in. Now, they both react differently. So Berkeley's reaction is to grab, she's kind of like got the motherly instinct to grab everything she can. So she'll have her hands loaded with some grocery bags to the point where, you know, where like it's cutting off your circulation. And then she tries to grab more. Like, she's like, and then she'll get really, really frustrated and start crying and be like, I can't get it all. I can't get it all. Listen, we never told her that we wanted her to grab it all in one trip. Right? That's not anything we told her to do. But what's she doing? She's focusing on what she couldn't do. Because she thinks she has to do it all at once. So she's focusing on what she can't do instead of what she can. When all she needed to do was grab one bag at a time. I think too many times we do that in our lives as well. And then you got Griff. Griff does the opposite. So he gets back, he'll get out of the car, and he'll just stare at the car for a while, right? He'll just look at all the things like he's trying to figure out exactly what everything is, exactly what it's for before we even take it in the car, before we even take it in the house, right? He's trying to figure it all out, and it's overwhelming to him, so he just stares at it blankly and does absolutely nothing. And again, we never asked Griffin to figure it out, right? We never asked Griff to say, hey, you need to know exactly what every grocery item is before we take it in. We never asked him that. But what he's doing is he's focusing on what he can't do instead of what he can. He could just grab one bag and move in. And I think too many times, really, in our lives, we do the same thing. We either try to take on too much, and we get frustrated because we can only handle so much, right? We try to think that we need to make everything perfect. We're like Berkeley, where she's grabbing everything and then trying to add more on. We do that with our lives, where we try to grab everything, try to take control of everything, make it perfect, and then say, okay, God, when I'm perfect, I'm going to come to you. But all God's asking is, say, take that one step of obedience. And then too many times, I think we're just like Griff as well, where we stare at it and we try to figure everything out before we ever take that step of obedience. Too many times we do this. Well, what God's calling us to do is he's calling us just to do our small part. Just clean up the mess we made, not all at once, but just step by step. He's not asking us to understand everything. He's just asking us to follow through, no matter how small it is. Listen, it could just be a simple smile at somebody to make them feel loved, right? It could be a text message to encourage somebody. It could be an apology for something that you've done in the past, right? It could be making an amends with a family member, but we're called to do it. We're called to follow through whatever it is. But instead, what do? Too many times we give them excuses, or we stare blankly trying to figure it all out, and we get frustrated when we can't. But we say, you know what, it's too much. It's too heavy. It's too hard. We focus on what we can't do instead of what we can. But God expects us to do what we can with what we have. And when we do this, it changes everything. God always honors those who give what they have. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. Because God gave what he had. He gave his son for us in the form of a human. He gave his son to connect with us. He gave his son to live a perfect life because we couldn't. To die on a cross and be resurrected so we could be connected to him. He gave his son so that we could live according to his plan. Listen, the owner of that manger, he thought he was just offering this worthless piece of wood. But God turned that piece of wood into the fulfillment of a prophecy. God turned that manger into the birthplace of Jesus Christ. So imagine what he can do with our lives if we're just willing to offer. But here's how we live this out. First, we have to honor God with everything. Honor God with everything. We need to acknowledge that everything we have is his anyways. So we need to give the honor back to him. For us to do what we can with what we have, we need to observe that God has really in control of every part of our life and honor him with every part. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. In every action, we need to give him honor. Think about you. Think about in your life right now. How can you honor him with your life? For you, that may just simply be just saying thank you. Right? For you, that might be recognizing both the big things in your life and even the small things in your life. Right? Maybe it's taking time to spend with them through prayer, through Bible reading, through journaling. Whatever it is, do it. Honor God with everything. And then the next is to obey his promptings. Obey his promptings. And begin to listen, but don't just listen. Begin to act upon what you hear. Obey his promptings. And listen, the more that you act upon what you hear, the more you're actually going to hear. The more he's going to speak to you, the more you're going to understand what you're reading, the more you're going to understand what you're feeling, right? If you're wondering, like, how do you know what his promptings are? And again, it starts with Scripture. There's a reason I challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app, to read your Bible every single day, because God challenges us. He prompts us through Scripture. That's where his promptings are. It's more than just reading, though, but it's living them as well. It's applying them to your lives. Check out what James says in James 1:22 through 25 about it. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. What's an area in your life where you need to obey his promptings? What's an area in your life where you know that you're not living according to his word, but you need to stop? Maybe for you it's to give more of yourself. Listen, maybe for you is a prompting to show up tonight and actually to sing and to share the joy and to share the love of Christ with others. It may feel awkward, but it could be that prompting. Listen, live it out. Obey that prompting. Do it. Obey His prompting. And then next, we always need to start small. The truth is, big changes always start with small steps. Start small. Start with what you have. Your end result may be big. Your end result may even seem overwhelming. It may seem too much, but don't give up, right? Just start small. Do what you can. Do what you can with what you have. Start small. Here's what I know. If we give God what's in our hands, God gives us what's in His. A lot of God's plans for us is really, it's out of reach on our own. But that's why it's His plan. And all He's asking for us is to start small. He's entrusting us to do what we can with what we have. We have to start small. Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." What small thing can you be trusted with today? What's a small step that you can take? Maybe for you, maybe it's a simple text message to encourage a friend. Maybe for you, maybe it's to invite and bring someone to Christmas Eve services next week. Listen, I'm giving you something small to start with. When you sat down, you should see two of these on every seat, right? So what you're going to do right now is you're going to pick these up, you're going to put them in your pocket. This is your small item. This is what you have. So this week, what you're going to do is you're going to give this to somebody else, and you're going to invite them to next week's Christmas Eve service, right? It's something small, but it's what you have, and what you can do with it can make the difference, right? The truth is, someone could be invited next week. Somebody could come next week and they could hear the gospel for the first time. They could hear about Jesus for the first time in their lives, and their lives could forever be changed. Their family lineage could forever be changed because you are willing to start small and simply just give an invite card. So that's my challenge for you this week. Start small. Start small. Use what you have and start small. And then finally, tally according to God. Let's measure according to His measurements. What's crazy is what's small in our eyes is always big in God's eyes. And what's big in our eyes is small in God's. He can do more with one small step than we can do with a giant leap. And God's measurements, they always work through multiplication and not just addition. So tally according to God. Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, will be measured to you." Listen, when we tally according to Him, whatever we give, He presses down, shakes it, and makes room for more increase. Truth is, He's not looking for the wealthiest person, right? He's not looking for the one who has the most to give. He's looking for the one who's going to be faithful. He's looking for the one that's going to be obedient. He's looking for the one that's going to trust Him completely. So measure according to His measurements. Tally according to God. In the Christmas story, it may have just been a manger, right? But to God, it was so much more. What's it for us? What is it for our life? What's something that you think is small, but God's saying, "Give that to me so I can press it down and I can make room for more"? Tally according to God. Your small act of obedience is His opportunity for more. So honor God with everything, obey His promptings, start small, and then tally according to God. I got a little creative there, and that spells host. To do what we can with what we have to become a host for Him. The owner of the manger changed the world because of this. The manger changed the world because it was a host for Jesus. Because it received Jesus, and we're called to do the exact same thing. With every part of our life. Are you willing to receive Jesus with every part of your life? Are you willing to be a host? Are you willing to be a host for God? God expects that for us, and it's what we can do, each and every one of us. God expects us to do what we can with what we have. We often hold back, though, because we have to offer what we think we have to offer God seems small and insignificant. But it starts there. It starts with that small and insignificant. And then God makes it big. And He makes it significant. It's time to become a host for God.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.